This morning's scripture comes from the 8th chapter of Romans, verses 31 through 39. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died? More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christian, you are secure. But to say that you are secure, the question next must be, from what? From what am I secure? Are we secure from things like trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, and the sword that we find here in Romans 8:35? No, that is not what we are secure from, nor is that what Romans 8:35 is implying. The truth is that many Christians have experienced those things throughout the past 2,000 years. Far from promising the Christian that he or she will never experience these things, Jesus bluntly told his followers this in John 16:33. In this world you will have trouble, but I have overcome the world. In spite of and in the midst of trouble, we can experience God's security and peace. In his book, Who I Am in Christ, Christian author Neil T. Anderson writes this: the key to understanding security is learning to relate to the eternal, not the temporal. Insecurity is caused by depending upon temporal things we have no right or ability to control. Lacking an eternal relationship and an eternal perspective, man oftentimes is driven to find some sense of safety or security. What he's saying here is that by nature we are insecure beings and are driven to find security somewhere in something. Now, throughout the scriptures, one place we commonly look for security is through our strength. When it comes to kings and nations, that strength was and is found in the size of the army and in the technology and abundance of weapons. Now, for us non-kings, where do we find our strength and security? Perhaps it's in your health, and thus you beat your body into submission through vigorous training and healthy eating. Perhaps your security is drawn from your close relationships with family and friends. Perhaps you find your security in your job and paycheck and your 401k, and if that's you, my condolences. Now, please don't misunderstand me. In no way am I saying that any of these things are bad. These are all very good things. Having a good job, a close family, exercising, these are all very good things for what they are. Temporal things. But when it comes to ultimate security, these are dreadful things to place your ultimate trust in. And why is that? Because you can lose all of those things, and one day you will lose all of those things. In all the funerals I've ever done here, not once have I seen anyone buried with bank account statements or stocks or cash. Nor were they even buried with a handgun. Now, in fairness, maybe they had a conceal and carry permit, and therefore I wasn't able to see it. That could be possible. Today, we understand all too well the uselessness of looking for our security in temporal things like this. In the face of a global pandemic, a virus does not care if you carry. It doesn't care how much money you have. It doesn't care if you have close family or friends, except maybe the closer you bring to them, they might care about that. None of these things can protect you. Thus, it's actually pretty foolish to get upset with temporal things like this when they fail you, because they were never meant to provide the real security and peace of mind that each of us long for as human beings. But the response to this is not to throw our hands in the air and just to give up, to settle for a life of fear and insecurity. Rather, we need to be bolder in where we place our confidence. We need to turn to eternal things that will last. Only then can we find ultimate security and peace of mind. We need to find our security in God and God alone. And if you are a Christian, God has promised us peace and security, not just in the future, but right now. In the midst of trouble and hardship and uncertainty, you can enjoy complete security and peace. Listen to the words of Jesus in John 10, 27 through 29. Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." Now, for many of you, that might be a passage worth committing to memory in these times. That passage again was John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. Jesus there promises us eternal life, says that we will never perish, tells us that no one can snatch us out of the Father's hand. Listen to Paul's words from our passage today in Romans 8. Paul says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword?" No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing will separate us from the love of God. Absolutely nothing. Not even trouble or hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, and the sword. None of those can separate us from the love of God. Not even life or death, angels or demons, the present or the future, any powers, heights or depths, nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God. That is the confidence we can have as Christians. That is ultimate peace. That is ultimate security that you will never lose. But why is that? Why has God given us this great security as Christians? Is it because once you become a Christian, your sinning days are over? You now live a squeaky, clean life? Your mouth is emptied of all lies and hurtful words? Your heart is now free of all wrongful motivations and attitudes? Your mind is free of nasty and wrongful thoughts? Well, if that were the case, if that was what our security hinged on, we would all be in big trouble. Because as we said last week, we are all a work in process. As Christians, we are being sanctified over time, becoming less sinful, more obedient to God, but yet we're not there. We're not there yet. So what are these promises of peace and security from God based on? Well, they are based on certain truths that have already happened to you when you become a Christian. When you first repented of your sins and trusted, placed your faith in Jesus Christ, here are the things that God did to you and for you at that very moment. We were forgiven of our sins. We were made clean. We were made a new creation. We were adopted into God's family, and most amazingly, we were even united with Jesus himself. Now let's think about these truths in the light of our security. Is God the type of God to adopt a child and then kick him out of his family? If we have been united with Jesus, we are in him and he is now living in us. Can we later be separated? And if we've been forgiven all of our sins, past, present, and future, all sin, then will God come back later and say, "Oh, never mind. I think I'm going to hold on to this sin again." Romans 8:1 has this amazing promise that should give us full assurance and security. In Romans 8:1, God promises us this: "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." No condemnation. Friends, when you became a Christian, God promised you there was no longer any condemnation directed at you, because all of your condemnation has already been directed at Jesus in your place and done with. It's over. Amazingly, God has gone above and beyond even that to give us assurance and confidence that we are secure in Christ. While all those truths we just looked at, these truths here, are true from the very moment you become a Christian, God has given you something else as an ongoing reminder that you are loved and secure in him. God has given you his own Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, to live and dwell in you. Let's look at some verses and notice in these verses not only the truth of this claim, but more importantly, why God did this. Why God gave his Spirit to live in us ongoingly. 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 22 says this: "Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come." And in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, we read this: "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." Now, in both of these passages, we are reminded of the truth that as Christians, we have been given the Holy Spirit to live in us. But we're also told why God did this by the choice of three words Paul uses in these passages. First, we are told that God set his seal of ownership on us, that we are marked in him with a seal. Now, what does that mean? Well, for most of history, how could a king or an official be sure that a letter or a document they wanted to send wouldn't be tampered with along the way? Or you can look at it from the receiver's end. How could you be sure that what you were receiving was truly from a king or an official? Well, they would seal the letter by pouring a little bit of wax on the envelope or the document itself if it was rolled up like a scroll. And while the wax was still hot, they would take their signet ring and impress it into the wax. The signet would have an intricate seal that would leave a negative impression on the wax that would say and verify, "This is from me." And thus, when you received the letter and observed the in-place seal on the wax, you would know that it was an authentic letter. And one, that was authentic, and two, that it had not been opened or viewed by anyone else. And actually, what you're looking at here is an ancient Jewish signet ring that people believe could have been Pontius Pilate's, because it actually has his markings and name on it. This is what God has done for us by giving us his Spirit. He is marking us as his own. He is authenticating us. When God seals something, he is marking his territory. He is saying in no unequivocal terms, this is mine. This person belongs to me. But beyond that, he's also ensuring our safe and sure passage. Unlike wax seals that can be broken easily, ain't no one breaking God's seal. Two other terms Paul uses in this passage are the words deposit and guarantee. Take a look at this in 2 Corinthians 1. God put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. And in the Ephesians passage, we're told that the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. All right, so what's a deposit? Well, it's a down payment given ahead of time to assure others of future action. When I worked up in admissions at Hillsdale College, we would require incoming freshmen to send in a hefty deposit of several hundred dollars. We did this so that we could have a more accurate count of how many students would be in the incoming freshman class. Now, we did that because we didn't want to have on orientation day a bunch of people not show up because they didn't. If you don't have to put a deposit in, maybe they just say to a bunch of colleges, well, I'll go to your college, and they're not sure yet, and they don't let you know. And all of a sudden, you're there and on orientation day, and all these people don't show up. And those are places that could have been given to other students. Thus, the importance of a deposit to guarantee future action. Now, in our case as Christians, it's a bit different. If you look around at how the world looks and acts, you might be tempted to guess that when it comes to spiritual deposits, that it would be God requiring it of us, rather than God himself giving us a deposit. You might presume that God would demand for us to start putting together a spiritual deposit, a spiritual dowry, if you will. And that with enough time and effort, we can accumulate something of spiritual value for God to accept and guarantee our spot in heaven. But that's not how it works at all. In fact, it's just the opposite. Instead of God demanding a deposit from us, God gives us a deposit to guarantee that all the promises made to us here and now will come true, that our eternal inheritance in him is safe and secure and is ours. And even now, the Holy Spirit connects us to God in a way that points to an even greater connection with him in the future. That is why God has sealed us and given us his Spirit, to give us that assurance and security and closeness. Now, while I hope that I've driven home the point that as Christians we are secure in Christ, I also don't want to give any false assurances either. These promises from God that I've shared with you are for the Christian, and they are true for the Christian. If you are a Christian, then you have been signed, sealed, and ready to be delivered, as it were. But on the other hand, we are not given a document of authentication that we can look at and say, see, I'm a Christian. So when someone calls you and says, I don't think that guy's a Christian. Look at here. See, that guy, I'm a Christian. See, right here, got God's seal right here. We're all good to go. I got this. We don't have that. Well, and because we don't have something like that, this means that it can be quite possible for someone to believe that they are safe and sound, but really they have no relationship with God. They have fooled themselves. Perhaps they were baptized as an infant and now think, I'm good to go. Or perhaps at some point in their life they prayed the sinner's prayer once and now they're all set. But now they live the rest of their life not really paying much attention or any attention to God. And if that is you, God's word has a wake-up call for you. In fact, let me share with you a couple of verses that Jesus said. This is from the Sermon on the Mount, and I've said it before, probably the scariest passage in all of the Bible. In Matthew 7, 21 through 23, Jesus says this, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. Jesus does not mince words here. He states plainly that some people can trick themselves into believing that they are saved, but when in reality, they never really knew Jesus. And the question that we need to ask ourselves besides, is that me? Is how can I know? How can I have assurance? And thankfully, God's word tells us how we can know and be assured of our faith and salvation. Listen to these four passages. In John 8:31, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said this, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Colossians 1:22-23. But now he, that is God, has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. Hebrews 3:12-14. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly to the end the confidence we had at first. And 1 John 2:19. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. Now, what these four passages are saying is that if we continue in faith, not rejecting it, not setting to the side, not forgetting about it, but actively engaging our faith with God, that is the safest sign we have that we truly are a Christian. Deserting the faith, believing that you can live any way you want, now that you are a Christian, including in any ongoing disobedience, just because you think God has sealed you, that you're secure, those are sure signs that you never really understood the gospel, that you never really accepted Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. Lord as in the authority of your life. So God's word holds true. We are saved by God's grace. There is nothing we can do to earn God's love and forgiveness. It is his free gift to us, accepted by faith alone. But the work we do as Christians, as a Christian, the time and energy we devote to learning and worshiping God, serving others in his name, witnessing to others, the effort to develop godly characteristics and saying no to sin and ungodliness, those things don't earn us our salvation. Instead, they confirm our salvation. They don't earn our salvation. Instead, they confirm our salvation. They are the good fruit that confirms that the tree is indeed good. Ultimately, friends, our security rests in the faithfulness of God. Let me leave you with this amazing promise found in Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God has promised that when he has started, that what he has started, he will bring to completion in you. Christian, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is a deposit, guaranteeing all the good things that God has promised are to come our way. And because of that, Christian, you can face whatever trials and hardships come your way because, Christian, you are secure in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this assurance. We thank you that you have given us yourself, your Spirit, to live in us, to guide us and to direct us, to assure our hearts that we are safe in you. And Father, we know that the most confident way that we can continue in this assurance is to continue to live our life for you, to not turn our back on you, not to forget you, but to seek you and strive for you. This doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. We know we'll have ups and downs. But Father, even when we do sin, your Spirit calls us to repent and turn back to you. And let us do that quickly. Father, in these unsure days that lie ahead, help us to put our full and ultimate security in you, and not of the things of this earth, not into temporal things, but only in you, because you are eternal and sure. We thank you for the security we have in you. In Jesus' name, amen.